Novels about art aren't hard to find. The Girl with the Pearl Earring, The Picture of Dorian Gray, and even The Da Vinci Code come to mind. But what is it that makes art such a great focal point for a good story? I'm Lisa Morgan, and today on The Weekly Reader, our book critic Marion Winnick is here with yet another example of this winning genre. Hi, Marion.
Hi, Lisa. We can add to that list Donna Tartt's The Goldfinch, which pretty much took over the bestseller list a couple years ago. The new book is called Impossible Views of the World, and it's the debut of Lucy Ives. Her protagonist, Stella Crakis, is an up-and-coming New York museum curator with a lot on her plate. She must solve the mystery of a co-worker's disappearance, fend off her soon-to-be ex-husband, and retrieve her heart from an ill-conceived office dalliance. Stella, who is a 19th-century cartographic specialist, finds a photocopy of a meticulously detailed and illustrated old map in her missing colleague's pencil drawer. Her largely scholarly detective work on the matter also entails a bit of breaking and entering, as well as lunch with her glamorous, secretive art dealer mother. Ives' writing derives much of its humor from a combination of high and low, arch formulations and disquisitions studded with cussing, sex, and jokes about Reddit. I particularly enjoyed her description of love, quote, "the feeling of it being spring for the first time, the face of a tiny kitten who is speaking fluent Spanish and is also a genie who can grant your wish, of being truly implied as the person I really was when another person spoke my name. My heart was a piece of paper. It was a paper fan. It was a dove." I was also intrigued by her definition of charm in art. It's, quote, "what happens when nothing works in a given painting. What you get when nothing works is everything." In Ellen Umansky's The Fortunate Ones, a missing painting connects the lives of Rose, a woman who escaped the Holocaust as a young girl, and Lizzie, a 37-year-old lawyer whose father just died. After Rose's parents put her and her brother on the Kinder transport from Vienna to England in 1939, she never saw them again. Also gone was a painting that hung in their house, The Bellhop, a painting by the expressionist Chaim Soutine. Over the years that followed, both the woman and the painting separately found their ways to Los Angeles. The painting was purchased by a wealthy eye surgeon named Joseph Goldstein, displayed in his steel and glass mansion overhanging a ravine in L.A. When his daughter Lizzie, then 17, threw a wild house party when he was out of town, the painting, as well as a Picasso sketch, was stolen. As both a person who used to throw such parties and a person who has left her house in the care of teenagers, this development hit me hard. By the time Lizzie meets Rose at her father's memorial service, her life has been as shaped by the missing painting as Rose's has. For both, the painting's departure from their lives coincided with a brutal loss of innocence. Lizzie is powerfully drawn to Rose, and you can see why. Despite all her losses, on top of the Holocaust, her husband has recently died, Rose is an elegant, smart, utterly direct woman who loves the films of Roger Corman, tolerates no fools, and has strong opinions on everything. Her boyfriend is a Bruce Springsteen maniac. It is his offhand question about the insured value of the stolen painting that drives Lizzie back into the investigation. And I'll stop there. I've been noticing lately that many reviews give away too much of the plot. Never on The Weekly Reader.
The books are Impossible Views of the World by Lucy Ives and The Fortunate Ones by Ellen Umansky. You can find more information about these titles, links to reviews, and our podcast at wypr.org/programs/weekly-reader. The Weekly Reader podcast is made possible by the Ivy Bookshop. For The Weekly Reader, I'm Lisa Morgan.
And I'm Marion Winnick.